Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We do what we do because truth matters. And of course, the Word of God is truth. And in order for us to apply God's directions to our everyday lives, we must learn to listen carefully as God speaks to us through His Word. He does speak to us directly through His Word. "My sheep, listen to my voice. I know them," said Jesus, "and they follow me." One of the most amazing aspects of the Bible is that it is alive and active. It's not dead and dull. God still speaks to us today through the mystery of His Word. The Holy Spirit illumines our minds to what is revealed in Scripture. The Holy Spirit makes us, as it were, wise up to what is written, but never beyond what is written. So while we listen, we must also test the spirits. As the Apostle John put it, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. See whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Satan's foremost strategy is to disguise himself as an angel of light. And his slickest slogan is, "Feel, don't think." But we are called to test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. I was thinking about that very thing as I was watching John Edward, the notorious Roman Catholic psychic, who supposedly can give grieving people messages from their departed loved ones. He sits, as it were, as a vulture in a tree, preying upon the broken, the weak, and the hurting. And I was absolutely amazed as I watched the interview treat this absolute spiritual crook as though he was some kind of an esteemed scientist or some kind of person who had credibility. And if you are not girded with truth, you are going to fall for these kinds of con artists. They're spiritual con artists. I'm going to call it like it is. I'm not going to soft pedal it for you. Edward, doing his cold reading shtick, sold cumulatively millions of books. He's made a virtual cottage industry out of deceiving the gullible. And Christians buy into this as well. Christians who are not grounded in the Word of God, who do not listen as God speaks to them through His Word, do not test all things in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. Do not test the spirits to see whether or not they are from God. Beware of false prophets. They come to you, said Jesus, in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Now, I cannot judge the motives of anyone. I can guess, but I can't ultimately judge the motives. But we are called to judge. We're called to test all things, hold fast to that which is good. And the final court of arbitration is the Word of God. And that's why I can say without any reservation that John Edward is a spiritual con artist. And if you're not careful, you will fall for that kind of spiritual con if you're not prepared to test in light of Scripture. And that, of course, presupposes that you know the Word of God. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Peter listening on the web. He's in West Palm Beach, Florida. Hi, Peter.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My question is in regards to the Trinity, mainly Christology. I'm wondering if you believe that for someone to believe in the eternal nature of Christ, you know, completely equal with the Father, if that's essential for salvation?
Well, I think the operative question is the question that Jesus Christ asked, who do you say that I am? I think it's the mother of all questions. So ultimately, we have to recognize that Jesus Christ is not, as the Arians would have you believe, someone who becomes a junior partner in creation, but he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence. Now, I've often said this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and I think it's worth noting. It's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. And so if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you're into the Arian heresy, I think it's crucial to recognize that as you continue to read the Bible, as you learn what the Bible actually says, you can't continue to hold on to false teachings. If you hear on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the very clear teaching that Jesus Christ is divine, he's the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence, and when you test that out in light of Scripture, find out it's true, but continue to hold on to the Arian heresy, then you're despising truth. And if you're despising the mother of all truths in terms of the nature of God and the deity of Jesus Christ, then I would say that you are believing a different gospel, a gospel that does not have the power to save.
Okay. So in light of John 8:24, when he says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins, what exactly is the context there of I am he? Is that just I am the Son of God, I am the Christ, or I am the eternal begotten Son of the Father there?
He is the I am. And I think in context, you have to believe that I am he, which is to say, I am demonstrating through my works that I am in fact God. You can see by my miracles that I am God. In other words, the miracles of Jesus Christ attest to the fact that he is in fact divine. And he ultimately points us to the quintessential miracle, which is the miracle of his resurrection. Through the resurrection, Jesus Christ demonstrates that he has the power to lay down his life and to take it up again, thus proving, in essence, that he is God. Destroy this temple, I will raise it again in 3 days. And the temple that he spoke of was the temple of his body, although he alluded to the temple because those who did not believe the genuine temple in their midst would also see the destruction of the marble temple that had become the con for all their beliefs, which is to say, the temple pointed to Jesus, but once you did not recognize the substance that the shadow points to, the shadow becomes something that leads you away from true belief in God as opposed to true belief in God.
Okay, so before canonization, before the Council of Nicaea, if someone were to sincerely fall into modalism or subordinationism, you think that would be worthy of perishing for them?
Well, remember that I think it is a mistake to relate this to 325 AD and the Council of Nicaea and say this is when the idea of the divinity of Jesus Christ comes into play. The deity of Jesus Christ was not established at the Council of Nicaea. It was established in New Testament times. In other words, Jesus Christ comes and demonstrates to the Pharisees that he is God. Therefore, they are culpable to the truth. They know that he is the one who walks through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies, and yet they deny Messiah in their midst. So they are already culpable in the first century. They didn't have to wait 4 centuries until the Council of Nicaea codifies a truth which is already communicated in the Word of God. I mean, what do we have communicated in the Word of God? We have there's only one God. We have communicated clearly in the Word of God that Jesus is God, that the Father is God, that the Holy Spirit is God. We also have clearly communicated that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are eternally distinct. So the Word of God is already communicating that to us. Now, certainly, there's a time in which the Word of God or the canon is established, and before that time, there's got to be a lot of grace for those who may be confused. And that's why I say it's not the absence of truth that damns, it's the despising of truth that damns. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Resources that I talk about on the broadcast can be accessed on the web at equip.org, so check it out. Order information online pertaining to your questions. We'll be right back.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And you go to equip.org to find out how you can get a personalized copy of one of my books, including the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Check it out on the web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Alan in Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Alan.
Hi, Hank. Good to hear you tonight.
Nice to talk to you.
Hey, my question is, I'm a new Christian, and I've been a Christian for about 6 months now, and I have a friend that got saved at the same time as well, and he's never really given up one of his alcohol. And my question is once we become saved, we're supposed to try and live as walk as close to God as we possibly can. But what do you tell somebody that won't stop the habit? Because the argument that we kind of get into is that if we're both saved, we're still going to the same place. And I guess my question is there anywhere in the Bible that tells you where is there different levels of heaven, or is there different levels of once we get to heaven, that someone that just gets saved and then leads a good life as much as they can, and or someone that knows that they've been saved at one time in their life and they still continue to do some of the things that they've done before, and they know that it's wrong.
Yeah. Well, certainly the Bible teaches degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell. Behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me, and I'll give to everyone according to what he has done. Specifically to your point, if your friend is genuinely a believer, not someone who has a said faith, but someone who has a real faith, if he's genuinely a believer, here's what he did. He recognized that he was a sinner. He repented of his sin, which is an old English way of saying he made a U-turn on the road of life. At one time, he was living by the dictates of his own will. He was following his own personal ambition, his own personal standard of right and wrong, and then he turned and he followed Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ became Lord and Savior of his life. So he realized that he was a sinner, he repented of his sin, and he received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Now, what happens when you repent, you are then willing for Jesus Christ to be the one who is your leader, and he's your guider, he's the one who gives you direction. That is to say then, if you know by virtue of Scripture that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, you know that you are then to honor that temple, to nurture that temple, to take care of that temple, which means you can't be a glutton. It means that you can't be a drunkard. Now, does that mean fat people can't get into the kingdom of heaven? No. If you're a glutton and you have overeaten and you are, by virtue of that, overweight, you are struggling with a problem. I'm right now at least 15 pounds over what I'd like to be. And I'm struggling with that right now. But my desire is to deal with that issue, to change my eating habits so that my temple is preserved, so that I can be a better servant with the time God has given me. That is true both of my physical body, but it's also true of the metaphysical aspect of my existence, which is I want to make sure that my mind is alert and observant, that I am sober-minded. Well, if I'm imbibing in way too much alcohol, in other words, if I'm getting drunk, wine is a mocker, beer is a brawler, and you're not wise if you partake of too much of them. That's what we're told in Proverbs. So the point is, if he's willing to change but he's struggling with it, that doesn't mean he's not really a Christian. It means that he's a Christian struggling with a besetting sin. However, if he's a person that says, you know what, I've got my insurance policy, I'm going to live however I want, then you have to question whether this is a genuine salvation or simply a said faith.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's some good news.
Alan, thank you so much for your call. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Nick, Yuba City, California. Hi, Nick.
Hello, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, driving the truck across the country.
Oh, good. Great.
Okay, my question is, does God put it into our hearts to, to accept him, to accept Jesus as our Savior? Is it he the one that puts it there, or is it we ourselves, we make the choice, we make the decision?
Well, here's what's going on from my perspective. I would say this is what the Bible says, that we all have the light of creation. We all have the light of conscience. If we respond to the light we have, we can have the light of Christ. The Holy Spirit is wooing us. He's wooing us through the light of creation. He's wooing us through the light of conscience. If we love light, he will give us the light of Jesus Christ. So we can then respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit, or we can reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit. There are those who say, no, that's wrong. You cannot respond to the Holy Spirit unless you are elect. That is a position called compatibilistic or circumstantial freedom. You can only act in accordance with your nature. The illustration is, if you're a cow, you can't fly. No matter how much you may want to fly, if you're a cow, you can't fly. If you're non-elect, you cannot respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit because you were created as an ignoble vessel. And you have people like Calvin who define exactly what that means. Calvin says, Paul teaches us that the ruin of the wicked is not only foreseen by the Lord, but also ordained by the counsel of the Lord and by the will of the Lord. Not only the destruction of the wicked is foreknown, but that the wicked themselves have been created for this very end, that they may perish. So God is the author of evil. Those who hold to libertarian freedom say, no, God is not the author of evil. Perish the thought. God creates the potential for evil because he grants us a freedom of choice. But we as human beings actualize that evil through our choices.
Okay, so the choice of accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, we do that solely on our own choice, right?
Well, remember that we have been created by God in such a way that we can respond to his love and his grace. First, we are creating a world in which we look around and see the sun and immediately recognize there's a God. The heavens declare the glories of God. We also have a knowledge of God written upon the canvas of our consciousness. Therefore, we are, as the Apostle Paul says, without excuse, because we have that knowledge, not only externally, but we have that knowledge internally. If we respond to the knowledge externally, as well as the knowledge internally, we can have special revelation, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So we can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. We can respond to the knowledge of God written on the canvas of our consciousness. We can respond to the sun, moon, and stars as they declare the glorious truth that God spoke and the universe leapt into existence.
Okay, great. That answers it for me, and I really appreciate the explanation.
Hey, you got it, Nick. Safe travels. Want to go back to the phone lines now? Talk to Walter listening in Ogden, Utah. Hi, Walter.
Hi, how you doing, Hank?
Good, how are you?
Thanks for taking my call. I have a kind of a two-part question. One, I'm wondering if you could tell me where in the Bible Jesus says, those who are against, or who are not with me are against me. And then I wonder if you could elaborate on what he meant.
Yeah, it's found in Matthew chapter 12, where you have Jesus Christ dealing with the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are contending that Jesus Christ is doing his miracles by the power of Beelzebub, who is the prince of demons. And Jesus is responding by saying, every kingdom that is divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. In that context, then, Jesus says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And he is now addressing the Pharisees. And in saying what he has said, he is communicating the fact that there is no possibility of neutrality. You are either for me or you are against me. You have to choose now. If you say I'm doing what I'm doing by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, you've already made your choice. But if you recognize that Satan could never do what he's doing, then you are with me. Make your choice. This is a stark, a clear, and a poignant call for the Pharisees to drop their contention, to follow him, or to be lost for all eternity.
That does it for me, Hank. Thank you kindly.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Got it here today. We'll see you next time right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.